The issue about Gosselin, we, Swag Ecock, did a study many years in metastatic disease, ER-positive randomized oophorectomy to Gosselin. One of the things we did is we didn't permit the 3-monthly dose. There is escape. If you give it monthly, you don't get escape. So that's, I think, key in using that drug. And the last thing I would say about doing an ovarian ablation, giving an AI, and where I practice, we take that journey. Patients come in fairly astute, and we sometimes take that walk with them. But the issue about bones, I think we heard from San Antonio, if you're aggressive about using bisphosphonates, women's bones will stick around. So it's good to be alive and worry about your bones. But I think it's good to be alive. So a high-risk patient, it's a real concern. Now, we did a trial, ECOG 3193, which looked at ovarian ablation, tamoxifen, where the ovarian ablation was randomized, no chemotherapy. Unfortunately, we didn't reach our accrual goal. I would emphasize, and one thing I learned from that trial, it is a combination that is tough in terms of quality of life. And we talked about talking to our patients before you get too far along. Not only do you want good bones, but you want to have good quality of life and other measurements. So it is something that you need to talk about because it is not trivial. And I have to tell you, my bias in low-risk patients, I'm very comfortable with tamoxifen alone.
Edith?
Yeah, we really use tamoxifen in that setting. You know, we're concerned related to two facts, using an AI plus ovarian ablation as standard quote-unquote approach in premenopausal women. One, I'm still concerned about the bone issue. We certainly can prevent some of the bone loss that may be seen with the use of bisphosphonates, but I don't think we can keep these women on bisphosphonates for 30 years, and we don't know the effects of these drugs in that setting. Number two, there was a very interesting report from Olmsted County epidemiological study published about 6 months ago in which one of our neurologists looked at the impact of oophorectomy in the setting of Alzheimer's and cognitive dysfunction later on. And it was actually, there was the worst possibility of developing cognitive dysfunction for women who underwent oophorectomy in this large epidemiological study. So that may need to be added to the counseling for these patients.
I want to make one comment about the issue. If you make a decision about ovarian suppression and the whole issue, the concerns about escape that you can see with LHRH analogs, in fact, there is only one study, the table study, that used a 3-month formulation of leuprolide in this case, and it showed that it offered similar survival benefit compared to chemo. So otherwise, you need to stick with the monthly drug and still potentially have problems. I remember reading something you wrote, Neil, about some of these women potentially should check into a laparoscopic clinic and have the ovaries taken out and be done with. I am actually very impressed by the ZEBRA trial, which was a study of LHRH agonists for 3 years versus 6 months of CMF. And at the end of the therapy, most women with CMF did not recover ovarian function. Most women with LHRH agonists, they essentially recover the ovarian function, and there are other data showing that it appears that women who receive LHRH agonists, when they stop, they go back to their biologic clock exactly where they left when compared to a control population. So if they were predestined to stop menstruating at age 49, the use of LHRH agonist is not going to speed up that. Although the use of adjuvant chemotherapy, we actually do know from the IBCSG data that these women will have menopause at a younger age. So from the ZEBRA trial, a non-permanent ovarian suppression that ultimately then allows women to recover a couple more years of menstruation and protect themselves before they start the biologic clock as far as menopause offers a similar benefit than a permanent ovarian suppression.
Even though the surgical procedure is certainly safe, I certainly don't talk about surgical oophorectomy lightly. I know it's a serious, but I just see people so stressed out and agonizing about what's going on. Are my ovaries going to start to kick in and now the AI is not going to work? It just seems like a really problematic situation.
Well, in this regard, actually, when you look at patterns of care, and I'm not sure if you have looked at this question, but in the community, when you ask what form of LHRH agonist people are using. And oncologists in practice are assuming that these are prostate cancer patients and they're using leuprolide.
Look at that book that's right in front of you. It's exactly what we found, not just in docs in practice, but investigators. A lot of Q3 month.
I've never used it.
Well, but we are breast cancer physicians and we emphasize if you're going to use something, you're going to use the monthly drug.
With an AI or with tamoxifen? Because that's different too, in my opinion.
Well, that's true. You're right. That's a good point.
Just point, counterpoint here. The ATAC trial was interesting. After you stopped the AI, the fracture rate was comparable.
Correct.
So maybe it won't be as bad as we think. And the Women Health Initiative, interestingly, with estrogen replacement, there was greater dementia than the patients who received placebo. So this estrogen dementia story is complicated.
Very.